in the budget, right.
Good morning, Commissioners, Secretary Hepler. For the record, my name's Emily Keel, Communications Director for the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks, and with me today I have Chris Hull. We're going to be briefing you on our aquatic invasive species outreach and communications efforts for 2018. And with that, we have a brief presentation to go over what's new for 2018, talk to you a little bit about our target audience and some of those markets that we're working our way into this year, the key messages that have been developed, as well as some delivery platforms and timelines. Also in your packets, and I see a few of you looking at the actual communications plan, really carves out what we're doing in a lot more detail and some of those costs involved too. So if you haven't, please take some time and take a look at that. The outreach objective that we have are working towards is to really educate male recreational boat owners ages 18 to 35 on AIS requirements in attempt to slow the spread in water bodies across the state. Now, I want you to know that we're still educating resident and non-resident anglers, but our primary focus this year are the recreational boaters. All of our key messages have shifted from pulling your plugs to it only takes one time and what is it worth. So really getting at the emotional connection piece to the value of our natural resources and that we are all users of them and we need to work on sustaining them for the future. This also has a direct connection to our strategic plan within the competence goal. Objective A, to enhance citizen awareness of our agency mission, services, and programs by launching a 2018, or annual for that matter, AIS communications plan while ensuring tactics align with the statewide management plan for AIS. And we've been working very closely with John Lott in the fisheries section of our department, as well as Mike Greiner, who's the statewide AIS coordinator for our department. So going back to the key messages, I just wanted to put a visual around some of them. If you can see, the what's it worth kind of goes through some of those emotional pieces of, you know, the spread of aquatic invasive species costs all of us. Breaking South Dakota law, millions of dollars to control, damage of boats and equipment, polluting shorelines and beaches, and really harming local fish populations. So is it worth being responsible for that spread and encouraging folks to educate themselves continuously? And then the other one there is that it only takes one time. The digital marketing efforts behind our plan remain with sdleastwanted.com as the hub for all of information regarding AIS. And most of our messaging, that's the main call to action, is to drive them back to the website for all that information. As far as social media, we have some targeted ads on Facebook that we'll be launching. They launched this week, May 1st. And then we're going to engage in an Instagram video that will launch later this summer around Father's Day weekend. The targeted emails and press releases, I promise I'm going to let him talk here pretty soon.
I'm okay.
The targeted emails and press releases will remain a key part of our information and communications toolbox once again. And time and time again, we hear from our users that this is the most effective way to reach them is through the targeted emails that we send. It's typically through a distribution group of over 135,000 resident and non-resident anglers, and that goes back 3 years. So we could be capturing some of those folks who may or may not have purchased a fishing license within the past year. So just making sure we keep those messages relevant to them as well. So this email campaign will begin May 17th. That's also the traditional open house weekend for visiting our state parks, and then free fishing weekend. So, and then that'll run through the end of August. And then come fall, so around September 1st through the end of October, we'll shift our messaging a little bit and target the duck hunters. We did that last year as one of the first times, making sure that they are also engaged and that they could have a potential impact on our water resources when it comes to AIS as well. One more point to make here, we'll also be working with Lewis and Clark to educate their slip owners that have boats that must be out of the water by October 15th and provide them with a reminder on the local boater registration program and then those decontamination efforts. Hall, do you want to add anything about the targeted emails piece?
I think the thing that this is Chris Hall, communications specialist with Game Fish. I think the thing that people are already mentioning to Emily and myself and other people, it's, you know, they see the imagery and they're like, well, you know, what about me? I'm a fisherman. But we have done a really good job of reaching out to our anglers. I mean, we've heard it. The knowledge is there. What we've really struggled with is getting these wreck boaters. How do you reach them? You know, the targeted emails, I think we did 17 last year or 21 with the duck hunter ones. Weekly, you know, short pieces, informational pieces, law pieces. I'm really trying to cover the whole gamut of that, and we'll continue to do that with our anglers and our hunters. So we have done a good job covering that with our social media and our, 5 years now of messaging. But these will continue, and they're effective, and they're actually kind of fun to do. So,
geofencing technology, I'm not sure how familiar each one of you is about this, but if you aren't, it's a virtual perimeter that you can draw around any location on a map and then target customers who enter that location. And so we've chosen to select these four boat ramps at Lewis and Clark this summer to engage in this technology. So what we really want to do here is trigger our message of pulling boat plugs at the right time and the right place. So this directly ties back to our GFP mobile app. So if you're a user of our app, you must have opted into location services and allowed for push notifications through our app for this to work, because individuals will then be alerted with an AIS message that would just pop up on their phone, similar to maybe when there's breaking news or a weather update that you would get on your phone. It has our logo, so they know that it's coming from Game Fish and Parks, and I can't remember exactly what the message says, but it's to the effect of don't forget to pull your plugs upon entering the water as well as leaving. And that's when they're coming within 200 feet of the boat, any one of these boat ramps. And it just launched yesterday. So if you are an app user, you will have an app update within your phone, whether it's an Apple phone or an Android. I just had to update mine yesterday. But the update also alerts folks that if they opt into updating our app, that this will be something that they will be alerted about. And we're going to have to monitor usage of that. We want this to be effective. We don't want it to be annoying. So that's the goal. Moving on to some print media. Print media can be pretty expensive, but we were pretty strategic in how we laid this out this year. Our Conservation Digest obviously doesn't cost us anything, but we'll have a summer issue released here in June that will provide some information on aquatic invasive species. Dakota Country is a regular partner. South Dakota Outdoors, Midwest Hunting and Fishing Guide, so you can kind of see the target months that we're working with each one of these partners on. Missouri River Tourism, we had something in their spring issue. 605 Magazine, Nebraska Land, and then the Sioux Falls Shopping News, their Fishing Outlook. We'll run a few times throughout the month of June. And that goes back to our key messages that you saw earlier, the same type of ads. Moving on to some takeover marketing.
So the takeover marketing, you can see the images. Basically, what it is, it's ice chest wraps. It's the screens when you're getting gas. You know, strangely enough, this is one of the first things that we really got public to comment on 5 years ago when we started doing AIS. We wrapped a bunch of ice chests with our AIS message. You might remember it, a big jumping carp. Got a lot of, you know, bang for the buck, if you will, and people talking about it and saying, well, what is this? So we did decide to kind of go back to that, you know, obviously, again, with the imaging, tackling or trying to reach those recreational boaters and taking it even a step further with, like I said, with some of the gas pumps. And I think this one's from Cowboy 3 in Watertown. We strategically kind of pick places. You'll see some high use areas, but you'll also see some of the places that, you know, really are on state borders and, you know, with one or two of the main highways coming in. And then, of course, down in the southeast, but up and down the river and up in the northeast. And like I said, I think we've both had people comment to us, call us and say, hey, did you guys do this? So just kind of a little bit of guerrilla marketing, something a little bit different, but it goes back 5 years that we've done this.
I'm just going to quick tell a little story. So this one here at Cowboy 3 in Watertown, I was home last weekend, and my dad is a 61-year-old lifelong resident angler of the state, primarily fishes Compesca, and he goes, well, I think you should have put a fisherman on there. And I said, we could have, Dad, but I said, you know to pull your plugs. You know what you're doing. I said, we gotta get at the people who aren't as familiar or who think these rules don't apply to them. So, and then he goes, he's a very simple man. Okay.
Pandora, for those of you who may or may not know, is a streaming music service. Basically, you can pick what kind of music you want to listen to. Very limited commercials. I think every 4 songs, commercials. Working with Pandora to reach some of these recreational boaters, and how this stems from, I have a couple of friends who are very much wakeboard, surfboard. They don't fish at all. I was out with them one weekend. They're listening to Pandora, and I said, is this, you know, when you guys are out on the water listening to music? And they just went, that's all we listen to is Pandora. So Pandora, like some of the other social media advertising, you can really narrow down your scope and who you want to reach. So working with Jeff Van Meteren down in Lewis and Clark and Mike Greiner, we said, okay, you know, we're looking at 18 to 35-year-old, primarily males. When you sign up for this stuff, you put your interests, you know, so you put, okay, I'm a recreational boater, I'm a wakeboarder, I'm a, you know, wake surfer. And also Pandora works with insurance companies to identify, oh, these people own boats. So we can tag those in there. And it's also where you're from, so it's geolocated. So we picked some very strategic places where a lot of our visitors come to, specifically in Lewis and Clark, and we'll narrow that down further. And you make an ad purchase for the summer, and we will create some ads, and that'll run on Pandora. So it's something fairly new. There's a little bit of use in state government, but not much. So we're kind of trying to lead the forefront on that, but pretty effective way to reach some targeted audiences. So, and then similar, you know, PSAs, radio and TV stations are always reaching out to us saying, what do you have for messaging? It's free. We can do it in-house. It's very cheap, but fairly effective because people see it, and it might at least trigger their memory or trigger some ideas. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So with the wakeboard package, excuse me, this is a giveaway that we're working with Mike Greiner on, and it really includes wakeboard bindings, tow rope and handle, low-profile wakeboard life vest, and a roto-molded cooler. And so that is something that's still being in development right now. But what will happen is through our messaging, we will work with another member of my team, Callie Worth, and our website on sdleastwanted.com to have a demographic and online user quiz that they would have to fill out in order to get entered into this giveaway package. And mostly just enticing them to get engaged, become involved, and really get to know the rules. And so, and it also gives us an opportunity to get their information and contact information so that we can reach out to them better in the future. We'll be working with some of the AIS interns to hand out some rat cards, directing boaters to the website for this giveaway package as well. And then really the objective there, again, is to increase voter education and compliance with AIS rules. And like I mentioned, collect the demographics and contact information. So that's really all we had for you today. Unless you have any questions for us.
Go ahead.
Commissioner Boyd here. Excellent presentation. I think you're doing a fabulous job with education awareness. You've got some delivery methods here that are truly commendable. Driving across the state to these meetings, I do have a thought, though, that it would be great to have access to podcasts on some of on this or other issues. Is that something that's in the works?
So yeah, that's something that's been in my head. Chris Hall, sorry, in communications with Game Fish and Parks. Commissioner Boyd, that's a great question. It's something that's been in my head for probably 3 or 4 years. Podcasting is the way to really communicate messages with the millennials and even younger. My daughter listens to 3 podcasts and she's 10. The thing about podcasts, and I briefly discussed this with you, is you have one chance to get those podcast listeners. You subscribe to it, you listen to it, within 5 minutes, if they don't like it, they're gone. They're not coming back. They might come back. It's not like a TV show where you watched it once and you're like, never mind. But when you're flipping through the channels, you might stop. They don't do that in general. So it is something we're definitely well on the way to doing. Had a brief discussion with Secretary Hepler. Emily and I talked about it yesterday or Monday, I think. It's something that we are definitely developing, and it would definitely fit into some of this stuff, specifically because I can sit down and talk to some of our employees who are doing really interesting work with, it's not just pull your plug or drain, it's we're down diving and we're finding these things everywhere. And if you have a comfort level and a good rapport with those employees, and we work really hard to try to maintain those comfort levels, it can make for really, really interesting radio or podcasting. But it's something, it's fairly cheap. It's a little bit time consuming, but probably not as much as you would think. But it's something that we're definitely lining out along with some of our education staff in the Southeast. And it's something that, while I'm really excited about it, makes me really nervous too, because you do only have one shot to catch those folks. So thank you for the question.
Go ahead, follow up.
This may not exactly fall under the topic, but in terms of education, how far out do you go, like, to reach the youth? The junior naturalist programs, is this a topic yet, or maybe in the works?
That hasn't been a focus in the past few years. Certainly with the education strategic plan, it may well fit into that, and working with Tenaya and what their charge is here in the next year to 18 months. Absolutely.
And I can tell you that for, I think, 3 years, we had the invasive carp in the big cement pond at the state fair. Mm-hmm. And when the kindergarten classes would come around and they'd be very loud, the fish would jump and get them very excited, and we would sit down and take that, you know, kindergarten class by kindergarten class, starting at the bottom and, you know, telling them why, you know, they thought they were great. And I was like, okay, now you and your mom and dad are out on a boat and one of those jumps and hits you in the head, what's going to happen? And they, you know, well, how do they get there? Well, spread through bait buckets. And I mean, so there has been a little bit of that ground level stuff, but it's that stuff really does lend itself to kids, because it's interesting, it's very dramatic. Even with, you know, zebra mussels, it starts with one, but okay, this shoe was down on the bottom of a lake for a week, and look at all the, you know, the zebra mussels. So I think it would be really effective and pretty entertaining for the kids too.
And I might have answered that first question a little too quickly. When in 2015, when we launched a full-on communications plan too, we obviously were targeting resident and non-resident anglers right away, mostly males, but we used Chris Hull's daughter, Charlie, actually, as kind of our poster child for our marketing at that point, to as a secondary audience, not the primary, but the secondary. So more of the, hey, Dad, you forgot to pull your plugs, or plug before you went in. So that was the mission of that at that point in time. So I think that maybe answers your question too.
Good. Yeah, it's good, nice high-tech stuff there you're doing. Doesn't the Game Fish and Parks do like a weekly radio, little radio blurb?
We do some regional stuff. A lot of our conservation officers do a good job with it. Yeah. up and down the river, up in the northeast, even out west. Some of them do some weekly radio stuff. And I think, you know, there's time to times I'm fairly confident that they talk about that, because especially for a journalist or radio people, you know, those things kind of come up in front of them and,
yeah,
hey, let's talk about this a little bit. So.
Okay, good. Go ahead, Secretary Hepler.
Secretary Hepler, real quick question. Comment first, Chris, is that I watch or listen to podcasts all the time, so it's just not millennials, by the way. I'm a few years removed out of there. And also, Emily, I think your dad is not only simply, he's probably a saint, but we'll let that one go. Really what I wanted to say, though, is this geofencing is really cool stuff. And I mentioned I had a conversation with Nathan Sanderson, the governor's office. I think it's just neat and the type of thing the governor's excited about, looking at these things. And he also is very much into this type of a way of you know, gaining new information. But we were just wondering if, you know, at some point, Emily, I haven't talked to you this, whether we could expand this beyond, like, so we get into some of these discussions around recreation and respect. So we get around some of these meandered waters, non-meandered marked waters, or if we're talking about trying to get somebody to clean up a lake, so before, you know, you get off a certain lake, you know, be sure you take your trash. That alerts. And, you know, there again, you don't want this to just be bothersome. So, you don't have, like, AP flashes every 5 minutes, you know, something's happening in the world. But I'm just wondering if we couldn't target some of that. I think it's just an incredibly useful tool. And so I think your balance is right. You don't want to be an irritant, because that goes the other direction. They're going to close it down and say, we don't care. But I think just beyond even this, just really neat application down in Lewis and Clark, if we can think of a broader way of helping some of that messaging. So, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Good report. What else? Okay, Gary.
Just a comment. Thank you very much for all your work. It's really important, and you're doing really good stuff. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
And I agree, too. It takes the younger, excited, vibrant minds to get this stuff going. And
that's not me, but I appreciate it.
And then we all appreciate it as you teach us how to do it. And you're catching the audience that needs to be listening. And that's just, it's amazing to me as I listen to all the new things you're doing. So thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right. Item 37, Scott.
Morning, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Hepler, Scott Simpson, Administrative Resources Chief. Just wanted to give you a brief update on a capital development project that we've got going at the Outdoor Campus West. I believe you have the map in your books. We were hoping to get to this item last month and ran a little short. But we visited with you guys, I think it was last fall, about this project, and we had some ideas about where we thought we were going to go. We actually got those alternatives pinned down, and I want to give you just a quick overview of what this design is. If you're looking at the map and you kind of look at the right side of that, you'll see that we've got about a 30 spot parking lot. That was a bit of a challenge, us working with the city to put that in there, but eventually we were able to come up with a design that worked, and as well as an access road coming off of Sturgis Road. If you look at the brown square that's labeled as C on the map, I guess for those that are looking, it's that little building right there. We ended up with a 60 by 100 foot building. It's going to be a real basic building. It's a tin, you know, steel-sided building, just wide open inside space. It's going to allow us to shoot archery and BB guns. We've got an overhead door. We can pull a boat in there and do a boating safety class if we want. We can field dress deer in there. It's got drains in the floor. I mean, this is just going to be a really good multi-purpose building for us to do some of those things that we don't have a place to do with our current facilities. So. Again, it's pretty bare bones, but it does come with a price tag, but we're really going to use the heck out of that thing. If you move off to the north a little bit, you'll see that we have, right here, we've got a 14-lane archery range, outdoor archery range. We call this the straight range. It's more of the traditional you know, step up to the line, shoot your distance. We've got 14 lanes that range from 20 yards to 80 yards. We can make them all 20 yard if we want, if we've got some sort of a shoot that we want to do, or we see how, that we've got more people that want to shoot at 20 yards than some of those longer distances. You'll see at the top that there's an overhang there. There's a shelter so that we can get in out of the sun during the summer. And it's going to, with the weather in Rapid City, I think we're going to see, if it isn't year-round use, it's going to be fairly year-round use. We have a couple of lanes in that archery range that are ADA accessible, so we're able to get those mobility challenged folks out there and at least give them an opportunity. As you move west across the landscape there, you'll see the last portion of this project, and that is a 14-station walking archery course. Those distances will range between 20 and 80 yards as well. We had Bruce Cull from the National Field Archery Association come out and help us lay out the range. Obviously, the biggest factor for us was safety. We needed to make sure that we were going to do this in a very safe manner as we're in town. So Bruce was able to help us with that. This does meet the NFAA standards, so if we did want to have a competitive shoot there, would we be able to do that at some point in the future? But I think, you know, our intent is mostly just for those recreational folks to be able to get out there and shoot. So this will be dusted on access for individuals. There's no fee for it. You stop out and you shoot, and we are really excited about this project. We've already a business in Rapid City has relocated to within a block of this archery range. It's one of the biggest archery dealer in Rapid City has relocated to within a block of the archery range. So we're excited about that. We think that's going to be a great partnership as well. So we were able to let these bids about a month ago, and actually a week and a half ago they started turning dirt. And I wasn't able to get up there on Wednesday. I was hoping to see the progress, but I've seen got several pictures sent to me, and they are Skull Construction is moving through this project at a very rapid pace. When I talked to Andy, he said he wants to cross this one off the list rather quickly. So it's moving forward. It came in on budget, real close to on budget, and we may have to add just a little bit, but it's not going to be a deal breaker. And we're just real excited moving forward, and we are going to be completed with this project by September 1st is our goal. So, yeah, that's the update.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Thanks.
Looks good. Thank you.